Steiner leaned back in his chair, his eyes worried, one hand playing with the pastoral scepter of his office. He sat that way for several seconds, then looked back up at Merlin.
"Exactly where are you heading, Merlin?"
"To Zion, I think," Merlin replied. This time, Steiner's eyes didn't even flicker. He clearly didn't like where this seemed to be bound, but it was equally clear he wasn't surprised.
"How?"
he asked simply.
"What I have in mind isn't really all that complicated. A bit risky, perhaps, but not complicated."
"You fill me with dread,"
Steiner said dryly, and Merlin chuckled.
"Actually, what started me thinking about it was something Charlian said earlier this morning. She and Caleb are planning on sending me to Coruscant with you to keep an eye on you. As she pointed out to Caleb, we can stay in communication now wherever I am, and it would actually make sense for Caleb to send his personal armsman to protect the Archbishop of Carus. But if they can send me to Coruscant and stay in touch, then I could send myself to Zion without dropping out of contact as well."
"And just go strolling around the city? In your Imperial Guard uniform, no doubt?"
"Not quite."
Merlin smiled slightly.
"In fact, I can reconfigure my Pika, Your Eminence. There are limits to the amount of change I can crank in on things like height, but I can alter the color of my hair, the color of my eyes, my complexion."
He shrugged.
"Trust me, I am a true master of disguise. Or perhaps I should say mistress."
Steiner nodded. He'd seen file imagery of Nemu Alban now, and he had to admit that no one would ever have recognized her in Merlin Athrawis. There was an obvious, and certainly understandable, family resemblance between them, but Merlin was unmistakably a man.
"I won't pretend getting me and all the electronics tucked away inside me, not to mention my power plant, that close to the temple doesn't make me nervous,"
Merlin continued.
"But no one who sees or meets me is going to associate me with Merlin Athrawis. Not even if they later meet Merlin."
"All right, I can see that,"
Steiner conceded.
"Well, while I'm admitting things, I suppose I should also admit I'll be pretty much playing things by ear once I get there."
Merlin shrugged.
"It can't be any other way. But I'll have several advantages Angelic doesn't have, and I can always explain that I'm another Sajan, a friend of Sajan Merlin's who's rallied around to help him out, for example. That should help account for some of those advantages if I have to call on them in front of witnesses."
"And just exactly where is Sajan Merlin going to be while all of this is going on?"
Steiner shook his head.
"You're going to have to be gone at least several days, more probably for 5 days.
"That's one of the reasons I came to see you," Merlin said. "I think we can probably cover at least a short absence on my part by using the stories about Sajans. According to at least some of the tales, they need to withdraw from the world to meditate from time to time. Sajan Merlin, on the other hand, has been continually on duty ever since he first arrived in Carus. No doubt he's long overdue for that sort of withdrawal. Call it a spiritual retreat. Given the fact that Caleb and Charlian want to send me to Coruscant with you, and that all they're going to be doing themselves for the immediate future is to stay parked here in the palace with oodles of guardsmen to keep an eye on them for me, I think we could get away with explaining to anyone who asks that I'm taking this opportunity for the aforesaid spiritual retreat before you and I depart."
"I imagine we could do that,"
Steiner agreed slowly, his eyes thoughtful.
"The problem is that we have to convince Caleb and Charlian to go along with all this."
Merlin's lips twitched in something halfway between a smile and a grimace.
"I don't think either of them's going to be happy with the notion,
but I'm not about to set out on something like this without keeping them fully informed. We just, had a little conversation about exactly that point, as a matter of fact." His expression turned into a true smile for a moment, then smoothed. "However, I can't tell them where I want to go and why without telling them about Angelic, Your Eminence. And I can't do that if it would violate your confidence and the sanctity of the confessional."
"I see," Stainer said again.
He sat for well over 2 minutes, thinking hard, then his eyes refocused on Merlin.
"This is an awkward situation," he said. "First, you're already party to the information covered by the confessional seal. Technically, that means you don't need my permission to share that information, information which came into your possession through no intentional violation of the confessional, with Caleb and Charlian. For that matter, you're not even a churchman, so the seal of the confessional wouldn't apply to you in the first place. You and I both know that that's simply a legalistic argument, though."
Merlin nodded silently, and Stainer drew a deep breath.
"As Archbishop, I have the authority to release the seal of the confessional under certain clearly delineated circumstances. Frankly, I wouldn't even consider violating it for most of the justifications the Church of God Awaiting recognizes, since they mostly have to do with turning people over to the Inquisition. However, even the Church of Langhorne recognizes that there are instances in which the immediate safety of others must be considered. That's obviously true in this case, and unfortunately, there's no possible way for me to consult with Adderai and ask her permission in time to do any good. At the same time, I have to tell you that if it were not for the imminence of the threat to Madame Angelic and the innocent people you say she's trying to help escape, I wouldn't even consider this. You understand that?"
Merlin simply nodded once more, and Stainer sighed.
"All right, Merlin. Given the situation, I'll support you with Caleb and Charlian."